Not funny, but cartoon. I going? All right. Sunday morning, 10:24:21. This is Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. The title of this is Apostolic Ministry. As every week, we're going to look at the foundational scriptures right quick, and then we'll get right into the segment today. All right, Matthew 7, Apostolic Ministry. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man who built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. As we said before, a house without a foundation, the storm comes, down goes the house. Same thing with the church. We're fixing to see the fall of the church. It's in the process right now, sadly. I don't know if any of you noticed about, what's his name? They have found that they charged him with second-degree murder, and he had found him with possession of child pornography. I can't think of his name. He was, huh? Yeah, Alec Baldwin. And what's kind of fitting is we're in Red October, and they keep bringing up the movie, The Hunt for Red October, where the hunter becomes the hunted. And I just saw that this last night, I think. Yeah. All right, Matthew 16. That's some of that dripping out. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and some Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So we know that the proper foundation, when the church has the proper foundation based on the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, then it will be a church that will prevail against the gates of hell. We won't ever be in this place again. All right, Ephesians chapter 2. We will no longer have a church that's got masons meeting in the basement and wife swapping going on. Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. This kind of church is going to shine like a city on a hill. All right, Ephesians 4:7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Just think about it. We're going to have 1,000 years to get the church completely reprogrammed. And then we're going to have the Gog and Magog war. It'll be interesting to see how many turn. After having no devil and the church in proper order, hopefully no one. Wouldn't that be something? All right, Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. When the leadership gets in its right place and order, the anointing will flow down on the whole body. All right. The Lord has been teaching us about divine order in the church for months now. Jesus called them, the apostles, to lay down foundation. His foundation, and build upon it sound doctrine. Everywhere these apostles went, they encountered the devil and his strongholds over people, places, and things. Contrary to popular belief and even teaching, this has not changed concerning apostolic ministry. Jesus set the example and he encountered opposite everywhere he went, but he overcame it all. Even at the death of the cross, this was why he came. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Peter makes this statement. This is 1 Peter 4. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. When they began to go about acting like Jesus, the same flack that Jesus encountered, they encountered. So Peter said not to think that this is strange, because you have become a threat to Satan and his strongholds. Obviously, we can't look at every account, but we'll look at a few things that the apostles encountered. We're going to look at Acts 3 and 4. When they started, after the day of Pentecost, to begin to do the works of Jesus, we'll see what happened. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. See, Jesus went about doing good. His purpose was to overturn the works of the evil one. This man, being lame all his life, laying at the temple gate, was Satan. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and the God of our fathers hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But he denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear, and all these whatsoever ye shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold all these days. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you, first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captains of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men were about 5,000. Just think about that. One incident caused 5,000 people to be born again. And it came to pass on the morrow. Satan lost 5,000 souls that day. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's probably the highest compliment you will ever be paid. You're that Jesus bunch, aren't you? And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, it has straitly threatened them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. You know what happens when you threaten people not to do something? What's happening in our society today? They're getting on every platform they can to shout from the housetops. And they And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Rather it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you, more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they that heard that, they lifted their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed. Both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined for to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who was by the apostles, was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Looks like a different church. I was thinking about today, of all the ministries that you've given to over all the years, how many of them have given anything back to you? Huh? People support ministries all the time, and they never get one thing. The biggest complaint that we will ever receive, or the biggest compliment, is someone saying to us, You act like Jesus. We can tell you've been with Jesus. Right? All right. We're going to read John 14, just a couple of verses. John 14. Verse 10. Believest thou not that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is normal for Christians. It is also normal to get flack when you do the normal Christian works that Jesus is talking about here. I will say something to you that I have said over and over again. Jesus took all sickness and disease from all for all time and for all mankind. What you are experiencing is not something wrong with you, especially being a person that walks by faith. What you are experiencing is a flak attack, opposition. You cannot be part of an apostolic ministry, sitting in your seat of authority and taking the ground back from the enemy and not expect a counterattack. We have the biblical accounts of some of the apostles of the Lamb and what happened to them. We also have Paul's accounts of all the flak he encountered as he took the ground. I can also tell you of the things I've experienced over the last few years. The Lord began to show me some of these things that I did, not even realizing that this is what it was, because the Lord had not begun to speak to me about the apostolic ministry yet. The insurrection we had in the school. The bread man at HEB. The vet hospital. What happened when I got within a block of that place? I felt like somebody hit me with a 2x4. Going to other parts of the state, the things that I've experienced. This is warfare. We threaten them. Going to places locally and experiencing flak in many other instances. I never associated all of it. But now that the Lord just brought it all back together, and he said, this is part of that. All right. A lot of these things have appeared as physical, but I tell you, they are the enemy sending the deterrent your way to stop you from taking the ground he has stolen. Think about that. If you will view it this way and stay in the spirit and handle it that way, you will be able to overcome a lot of it. Our weapons of warfare aren't carnal. He would try to keep you wrapped up in trying to take care of it by means. Recognize it as warfare. We're in a battle, after all, for the earth. Whether you realize it or not, we know Jesus already disarmed the devil, so all he has is deception that he sends to get your eyes off of the target. Just like, don't look at Alec Baldwin and childhood sex trafficking and murdering somebody on the set. Look at all the migrants that are flooding the border. It's a deterrent. Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He can't hurt you. Stay in the spirit and keep your eye on the target. He wants you chasing your tail. Same old methods. What do you know? You fall over dizzy. As part of the apostle ministry, we must come to the realization that this is just part of it, but that God's grace is sufficient to carry us through. All right, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians. I didn't put the chapter. I put the verses. I know what it is. Okay. All right, hold on. All right, it's chapter 12. This is Paul. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. This is a demon, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So all of these things, these came against him. This messenger of Satan, he had reproaches, infirmities, necessities, persecutions, and distresses. That's what they came in the form of, but it was a messenger of Satan. You will not be strong if all you do is seek some way to get it off of you. This is Satan's bread. It is time to stop the struggle and allow the Spirit of grace to show up and show us the way to victory. This is the way of the kingdom. The Spirit does not want us deterred or detained from going anywhere or doing anything by these tactics. See, the purpose is to stop you. All right, I'm going to read you just a short little article here. It's by C. Peter Wagner. From Confronting the Powers, Binding the Strong Man for Saving Souls. It's very short. I'm thankful for this man, even though he's in heaven. I feel like the Lord's allowing him to instruct me. Jesus' life from his baptism to his resurrection was characterized by spiritual warfare. The kingdom of God he brought was resisted at every turn by Satan and his forces of darkness. When Jesus left the earth, he left his disciples with the same power source he used from the beginning to end the third person to the end, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Jesus left his disciples to carry on the war. They would not be exempt from the same incessant struggle against the devil Jesus experienced. Jesus prayed to the Father, "I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one." As would be expected, Jesus had prepared his disciples for fighting and winning the war to which he had assigned them. Not only did he commission them, but I believe that by implication, he also commissions us for the battle. In this chapter, I hope to clarify the ongoing responsibility Jesus has given to the church at large to engage the enemy at all levels, including strategic level spiritual warfare. For the most part, the church knows nothing about it. My final thought, I will end with this. What you're experiencing is spiritual warfare, and nothing you can do in the natural is probably going to help. So handle it spiritually. You know with your spiritual weapons and realize the craftiness of the evil one. Use what you're experiencing as a gauge of how effective your warfare is, because it is evident that you are right over the target.
Is that it?
I have one more. Short.
Let me keep it going.
No.